Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So a couple of points of clarification from the conversation with Chief Fitch in the last hour on the Better Together plan. The Constitution of the state apparently says no county can impose an earnings tax. So it's a new government, and the allegation was, and look, it's a fair question. I think we need to know all the answers to the questions. The chief was saying, well, wait, if this passes, the earnings tax is phased out over 10 years, but does that mean that everyone in the new entity will pay the earnings tax? No, they will not. I mean, again, some of these things, I would say to a certain extent, you'd have to use common sense, just because if that were part of the plan, that would be really stupid because it would be DOA. Now, that's not to say you don't want to ask the questions, because every once in a while, you know, people try to slip something by you. So I don't want to be in a situation where we don't look and dissect and examine under the microscope every aspect of this thing. So, but the question there is, no, you're not going to pay. Now, on the Fenton issue with the sales tax and things like that, I'm going to find out exactly what's going on in there. So we'll have some answers to that hopefully soon. It's very cold, as you know. And, you know, I'm not even going to criticize. A lot of times I like to make fun of school districts that call off school when it's too cold or there's just a little bit of snow. But in this particular situation, I completely understand why the St. Louis schools have called off classes for tomorrow, and I'm sure other school districts will. I mean, it's just brutal, brutal cold for the next couple of days. And really, I guess you can look at it this way. We're getting off a little easy just compared to what Chicago and Wisconsin, my friends up in the People's Republic of Wisconsin, will have to go through. But along those lines, Bob Strait with Strait Realty got in touch with me a couple of days ago. I think he was on this morning as well. He's putting together and trying to rally folks to donate some coats through the St. Patrick Center. Joins me this afternoon. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Oh, great. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good. You know, I drove by. This kind of brings up a separate but related topic. I drove by Enterprise Center this afternoon on 14th Street, as I often do. That's my route into work and back. And if you've ever been down that stretch on the east side of, you know, the venue, you see all the homeless people hanging out by the grates because they're, you know, heat's coming through those. And it, by the way, it just looks disgusting, and I wish we could do something about it. I wish they had shelters to go to, and I think maybe that is available, but it also makes you think about how many people are struggling out there as well.
Yeah, I drove by it today as well, come down when I interviewed with Charlie this morning. It's sad. It's probably 90% mental illness. And with this weather coming in, a polar vortex, I just felt like we had to do something.
All right, so tell folks what you're doing here.
So what we're doing is we teamed up with St. Patrick Center. We're collecting coats or hoodies or gloves, anything you want to give. Carrollton Bank has 9 locations all around St. Louis. They're taking everybody's coat. Other corporate people that are donating, Cordell, and even Carrollton Bank, they're doing a drive. So anybody that wants to give a coat can go by Carrollton Bank and drop off a coat.
Any other requirements outside of that? You know, I guess they can be gently used, or if you want to buy a new coat, you can drop those off too.
Yeah, both, exactly. You know, slightly used is what I'm seeing. We've already got probably 100, Mark, so we're, you know, it's already starting off really well for the first day. But we're doing today through Thursday, we're doing drop-offs, and we're going to take them down there. We're going down tonight to drop off some coats.
So explain once again so people know, where are the drop-off points?
So Carrollton Bank, they're all around St. Louis. So they have 9 locations. And then Dunn and Miller Building, if you're in Chesterfield or West County, is at Highway 40 in Maryville Center. You drop off at any of them points, and we'll collect them during the evening and take them down to the shelter.
All right, Bob, we'll get the word out, and hopefully people, as they often do here in St. Louis, will rally to the cause.
They do, of course.
Thanks again.
Thanks, sir.
All right, there you go. A little help for folks who need it. I don't know what you can do about that situation down at Enterprise Center. I don't want to sound like someone who doesn't have a heart, which I think I've been accused of on a regular basis anyway. And it might be true. However, it's just, you walk by there. We got people, you know, you want to talk about making the city a better place and more appealing, and you want folks to, you know, this was cited yesterday, you want kids to say, hey, I'm going to live in St. Louis or make my home here. You have visitors that are here for, you know, the Missouri Valley Conference tournament or whatever might be happening. I don't think we have NCAA first and second rounders this year. I think we have them next year. But you go down there and there is just a crew of homeless people with stuff scattered everywhere, garbage everywhere in front of the west entrance of Enterprise Center. Now, I'm guessing that the, you know, the folks over there are somewhat cooperative and understanding that that is a bit of a heated area. So that's why people want to stay there. But it's just, there's got to be a better option. You know, and I know that Larry Rice goes back and forth with the city and nothing ever gets solved on there. I also realize, and this is true, and people don't want to hear it, that there are a lot of those people who are out on their own. They're homeless. They're in tents. They're, you know, shacking up and putting their stuff next to Enterprise Center. They don't want to be in a shelter because they don't want to play by the shelter's rules. And you can't have alcohol and things like that. So there is something to that. All right, let's take some calls here this afternoon on a question that I was going to ask yesterday, but we had 2 hours focused on Better Together. The shutdown ended on Friday, and now you still have this period of negotiation on the wall. Let me give you a little background on that. Kevin McCarthy, for example, what's going on with the wall?
It could be barrier. It doesn't have to be a wall. If the Democrats are beginning to discuss barriers, that's a positive in all shapes and forms. Because that's not something they've been saying ahead of time.
All right, here's Lindsey Graham.
So one or two things are going to happen. By February the 15th, we're going to have a deal that would be good for the country, including the president's priorities, but also things Democrats want. Or he will pursue building the wall on his own as commander-in-chief. I hope that we can reach a deal, but one way or the other, we're going to start securing the border.
All right, so Lindsey Graham, very confident we're going to secure the border one way or the other. My question for those of you, and I've referred to some people that are in the, how can I do this without offending people? I'll just do it and offend people. What the hell? You know, it's happened before. I've referred to that solid base of Trump supporters who don't care anything that he does as the cult. Okay? So let me ask the cult a question here, even though I just offended you. For those of you who have stuck by this president at every turn, can you really make the case that he didn't lose this and that Nancy Pelosi didn't hand him his lunch? Because I have trouble sort of seeing it any other way. I don't think that he won this. He doesn't like to hear that. But even Ann Coulter went on with Bill Maher. You know, they're kind of buddy-buddy. That's an interesting relationship, by the way, because I'm not a big fan of Ann Coulter. I'm not a big fan of Bill Maher. But they like each other genuinely, and they get along pretty well. And, he, you know, she goes on his show. So here's what she said on Bill Maher's show.
Okay, I'm a very stupid girl. Fine. But that was actually a selling point with Trump. I mean, you can make fun of me for also writing, and Trump we trust, e pluribus awesome. Look, we've been lied to over and over and over again by politicians, by respectable people, by people like Mitt Romney and George Bush, Obama and Clinton. We're going to protect your jobs.
Not to the same
and
degree.
If I could just say for a second to an audience that is not wild about me, I think this build the wall line has become, I mean, it sounds like Crooked Hillary or lock her up. It isn't that. You're being played. This is, as Bernie Sanders said, a Koch brothers idea. This is lots of cheap labor pouring into this country is good for employers. It's not good for employees. You know who wants it? The Koch brothers. Yeah. They want it. Rupert Murdoch wants it. Yeah. My party wants it. Why hasn't Trump been able to get it through
the first two years? The point is that
because
the wall
the
won't stop that.
Republicans don't want it. It's all of mass immigration. It's our legal immigration. Okay. It's no E-Verify.
But the wall
is a big part of that.
But the reason...
And you're being played to have everybody keep acting like this is some sort of racist thing.
Well,
working class wages have gone down.
Okay.
Middle class wages have been stagnant. It's great for the rich. It's good for you.
Well, so that was when she kind of went into her bit about the wall. But what she tweeted on Friday was congratulations. Let's see if I can pull up the exact tweet. But she said congratulations because you've now passed up. Here it is. Good news for George Herbert Walker Bush. As of today, he's no longer the biggest wimp to ever serve as president of the United States. So you got Ann Coulter breaking bad on the president. But again, how could you not? And I want to hear the explanation to this for those people who never break away from Trump, because he did lie about that and many other things. And how can you trust it? Look, the first lie was Mexico is going to pay for the wall. No, never was. It was a good line and it worked during the campaign. He said he would hold firm on this. He didn't hold firm on this. He caved, didn't he? I'm with Ann Coulter on this one. So why do all this if you're going to cave in the first place and still not get everything that you want or nothing that you want? Max, you're on KMOX. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mark. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
Hey, two quick points. Number one, in a weird way, I agree that Trump lost to this mini round or round, whatever you want to call it. But in the overall scheme of things, by keeping this issue alive and at the forefront, he's dragging the Democrats right where he wants them, laser focused on this wall or barrier.
Help me out here. How is he doing that?
He's just, you know, it's all you hear about, you know, in the media. It's his issue, and that's all anyone's talking about is the border wall.
Well, what does that matter in the end, though? I'm getting a little away from this mad scientist routine because I don't think it's true. I mean, I've been open to that idea in the past, but he's not getting the money for the wall.
And I think
he won't get it. Okay. So then what happens? You do the emergency declaration. That
correct.
Is declared unconstitutional, probably. And then where are you left? Well, I guess he can try to blame the Democrats, but he was the guy who said he was going to build the wall.
Yeah, but then that case will get expressed to the Supreme Court. Most people have said it's a slam dunk case that he does have the authority. Now, it's a slippery slope.
Well, there's no such thing as a slam dunk case with this court. I mean, either
right.
side, there's no such thing. There should be, but there's not.
I agree, but, you know, I think that's the roll of the dice he's got to take because he's never going to get a penny out of the Democrats.
But you don't put any of the blame on him for saying he was going to hold firm here and then caving.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
His brash schoolyard antics only work to a point when he's got some votes in Congress. And the Democrats, no matter what you think of them, good or bad, they will vote in lockstep.
Yeah, I think they will, right. They're not going to give him a victory on anything. You're right about that. Thanks, Max. I appreciate it. 436-7900. Got to do a break here. We're coming back with more in a moment on KMOX. Hey, I got a pretty cool music story after the bottom of the hour. There's a singer-songwriter from Milwaukee, Trapper Shep is his name. He's been here in the studio with me. I don't know Trapper very well, but I had him on that show one time, and there was a story that was in the Chicago Tribune the other day. He kind of accidentally, we'll just kind of term it that way, wrote a song with Bob Dylan, and it's a pretty cool story and pretty neat for him, so we'll have Trapper tell that story and share it after 3:30 on KMOX. Back to the phone calls on my question about Donald Trump, and again, this would have been maybe better time for yesterday, but we did better together. But on the wall and what happened with the government shutdown and how in any way, shape, or form this could be declared a victory for the president, which I'm of the opinion it cannot be. Jim, you're on KMOX.
Yeah, I'm part of a cult, what you call. You know, what you never Trumpers don't understand is we predicted this guy would win. And like you who voted for Gary Johnson, then heads
I didn't vote for
made.
I didn't vote for Gary
yes,
Johnson.
You did. Yes,
no, I didn't. I'll tell you exactly who I voted for. Wait a second. Let's have a conversation, Jim. I voted for my friend John Jagler, who's a state rep in Wisconsin. I promised him that I would vote for him, so I wrote his name in.
Yeah.
But you got to keep telling me how the Never Trumpers were always wrong about this, because I was saying for 3 years now that the wall was never going to be built. But explain this to me. Mansplain it to me. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, he's not a dictator. He has certain powers. But in the end, he will get a wall and it'll fall back on the Democrats. Maybe you ought to go along with the program and quit being like rhinos and hedging on bets like you may with someone. I guess you didn't do that neither.
Well, what would you like me to do? He's gone. I'm going to miss him. Yeah, he's well-spoken, though. Joe, you're on KMOX.
Mark, first of all, I don't always agree with everything that Donald Trump does, and I wish he'd think before he tweets sometimes. However, I think you're wrong about this. He's already stated that he reopened the government so that the people could get their paychecks with the understanding that the Democrats were going to come forward and negotiate the item. However, he also stated there's less than a 50-50 chance that they're going to do anything, which he's right about. They are not going to come in and negotiate in 15 days, 30 days, or 60 days, no matter what they
so
did.
So do you think? So do you think then? Of course not. He should have known that in the first place. But you realize that this—if he was so worried about the workers, why shut the government down in the first place? Because that offer was on the table before he shut down the government. You don't think he's going to shut down the government again, do you?
I do.
I don't.
If he doesn't get if he does not get honest negotiations,
no, he's not going to do that.
I thoroughly agree that he is going to shut it down.
Why would he do that? He already talked about there would be no purpose to do it because he's going to use the emergency powers to address the border. So you wouldn't have to shut the government down.
Possibly, he's got the Democrats backed into
you guys. You guys are amazing. So you think that you can go ahead and say something and try to hold firm? And first of all, you promised to build a wall, and that hasn't happened. Then you could say, "I'm not backing down until they give me money for the wall." They don't give you any money for the wall. You completely cave. Nancy Pelosi eats your lunch, but you're going to defend him.
Oh no!
I'm just asking. I'm just trying to go on the record here.
Well, number one, I think the reason he used the word wall was because if he had said fence during the campaign, people would have said, what good's a fence going to do? We already have a fence. If he had said barrier, they would have quibbled about a barrier. So at least the term wall, it specifically says something about it. It never was going to be a full wall.
I know. It was never going to be a wall, and Mexico was never going to pay for it, and Nancy Pelosi was never going to win. I understand. I understand. I get it. I just have to accept it. Jerry, you're on KMOX.
Hey, Mark. How are you this afternoon?
Good.
Hey, I don't know that I'm necessarily one of the guys, but maybe a little different perspective on things. I think Trump is trying to play the long game here and force the Congress to actually do what their job is, and that's to actually pass laws that pass muster against the Supreme Court. With the change in the court, now they can't flip things off to them to make a...
to legislate, know, right?
Something. Yeah,
sure.
So... If we look at this and say, hey, listen, Trump's willing to do whatever he needs to in order to make this happen. It's not the wall. It's immigration reform. It's about fixing the whole thing.
No, but that would be great. But I don't. Where have we tried to do that? If he just declares the emergency powers and uses the money to build the wall, we're not solving any immigration issues. You know what? It's interesting what Ann Coulter was saying because there are a fair amount of people. If you look at the business interests of the Republicans, they do place importance on this because it's a labor issue for them, right?
Right. So the Democrats should actually be for it since they're union guys, and the union guys should be saying we don't want this cheap labor in screwing up the wage.
Excellent point.
That we get.
It's an excellent point. You're right. I'm a little surprised why that doesn't get voiced more often.
And it blows my mind that it's not. But the reality here is that it is all about immigration reform because. This idea of building the fence or the wall or whatever it happens to be on Texas, which is on this side of the Rio Grande, and you got 150 feet of land that's technically American. If they step there, they can actually become Americans in some way. It's those little things that have to get worked out. And I think that's really what he's trying to do is make them fix the problem. And while this whole border wall argument certainly allows us to be talking about this, it really forces them to actually have to come to something that says we're solving the problem, and that's immigration reform, not just border security.
Okay, well, maybe you're right about that. I just don't see, there's no effort at all to have any kind of, I haven't seen a bill yet that focuses on immigration reform. I've just heard about the wall at this point. I think there's a lot of desire to do what is referred to as comprehensive immigration reform. There's not a plan on that front on the table, at least front and center right now. Tony, you're on KMOX.
Hey, Mark. I think your buddy Jim there was an angry Democrat myself. But I think that Trump definitely got his lunch handed to him by Pelosi. And I think if he wants to get the money for the wall, he needs to call Mexico, and it's $95,253,550,000
You did the math on that.
I did the math already, and that's where he thought it was coming from. So have it shipped in.
I like that. I like that idea. Well, you better get that exchange rate today. That might change here in the coming weeks. Bob, you're next on KMOX. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mark. Nice show. Hey, I'm still trying to do the math on the pesos. Hey, this whole thing, one thing that Trump is doing well politically is he's on offense, right? He keeps pressing the wall, and he's pressing something that he knows the Democrats won't accept. So the question is, why is he doing that, right? He's trying to hog the agenda, right? I mean, the Democrats just won the House. They're not talking about free health care. They're not talking about doing it, right? They're not getting anything done they want to get done. They're tied up in this wall thing. So in that respect, he's a pretty smart guy, Mark.
That's this is your personal theory, and it's mad scientist theory, which has been around for a while. But, Bob, I think at a certain point, you have to be honest when the president fails. And there have been many failures. We can't just spin everything away. And here's a reason that you can't do that. Because the other side tries to do it. They all try to do it. You can't criticize the other side. Let me offer Kamala Harris, because I always thought it was Kamala. But now it's Kamala, like Pamela Harris, who's going to run for president. And by the way, I don't think you should write her off because she's in California. They moved up their primary. She's going to raise a lot of money, and you could have her as the, you know, as the nominee. But you have a situation where the president tries to do things, tries to put his foot down. He told us, it's in the open of my show. It used to be. We just changed the opens. There's going to be so much winning, you know, you're not even going to believe it. Where's the winning going on right now? I don't see the winning.
Oh, well, I'm not going to disagree with you that on that specific showdown, okay, he didn't win it. But Mark, what did Pelosi win exactly? What did she actually get for her side? She got a political victory over Trump, making him look foolish,
right.
I guess.
And, well, that's
but she didn't really get anything. What'd she get? What did she win?
She got a political victory. What did he get? He didn't get anything either. He got a political loss.
Right, but
well, she kept her promise
to do what?
Not put money for the wall in there.
Okay, but
Chuck and Nancy said they weren't going to put money for the wall. The president said, you know, if you're not going to do that, I'm going to walk out of the meeting. I'm going to keep the government shut down. You're going to negotiate. In the end, he caved. It's pretty simple.
He caved on that specific stage in the negotiation. But Nancy thinks, I mean, the thing that I like about Trump, just from a negotiation standpoint, Mark, is people think they beat him, but they didn't get anything. They really didn't. She didn't get anything for her constituency. She got no money. She got nothing. But she got a political win. Okay, great.
Well, sometimes that's what you're looking for, because what would you expect her to get from this? What was she asking for? I mean, she was telling. I'm so confused by this, Bob. You're spinning this. She said she wasn't going to put money for the wall in. That was what her caucus wanted. Chuck said the same thing in the Senate. They got their way.
I thought, Mark, when the Democrats...
That's what they wanted, so they got their way. The Republicans didn't, and the president lost. I got to go to news, but I'm just amazed that people can spin this around so many ways and say, you know, you didn't really lose. Here's what happened. What did she get? She got exactly what she was looking for. This is a singer-songwriter from Milwaukee. His name is Trapper Shep. We had him in the studio a couple years ago when he was swinging through town. He did a show at Off-Broadway. My buddy Dan Walsh, who was one of my former producers who survived. They don't all survive, let me tell you. He's a good kid, and he's not even a kid anymore. He was a kid when he worked for me. And he's got good musical taste. I don't like to say nice things about Dan, but he turned me on to Trapper. And over the weekend, I was just paging through some stuff on Twitter, and I saw a story in the Chicago Tribune that said how Milwaukee's Trapper Shep co-wrote a song with Bob Dylan. It piqued my interest, and I said, hey, I know that guy a little bit. Let's have him tell the story here on KMOX. Trapper, how are you?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm good. I'm in the polar vortex of Wisconsin.
So how cold is it up? I have my wife's aunt lives up in Eagle River, and she sent a picture on Saturday that was minus 25 on the gun, not even the wind chill.
Yeah, I think it's about one on the gun here. But you know what, Mark? It happens every year.
It's winter.
Yeah, it's called winter.
It's called winter, right.
Don't remember that. But yeah, it's fine. My parents got married and like, I think it was one of those feels like below 95, like minus 95.
Brutal,
degrees.
Brutal. And you know, I bet you'll still have people up there that'll be in those, and I'm a fisherman. I was telling this story the other day, but the ice fishing thing always eluded me, but you'll have people in shanties probably up there ice fishing, right?
Oh yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, some people it affects, some people it doesn't. I'm cool with it. I signed up for it. I live here.
Well, you're also going to Europe here in a week or so, and we'll talk about that in a second. But one thing I wanted to mention to you, too, is I think we noticed after following each other on social media that we have a couple of mutual friends, including Anthony D'Amato, right? You know Anthony.
Yeah, he's a troublemaker.
He is. So I've been on vacation with him the past couple of years, and I think I put a picture up, and you said, "Wait a second, you know that guy?" And yeah, he's a good dude and a great singer songwriter, too. But yeah, that kind of brings us to where we are right now with this song on Wisconsin. So I'll play it here in a second, but give me the background of this. It's very, very interesting because you wrote this song. I guess you get co-writing credits with Bob Dylan, even though you've never met him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so how it happened was when Bob Dylan was 20 years old, he was in New York City and about to go into Columbia Recording Studio and to begin work on his debut album. And that day, he wrote a song about Wisconsin. It was 2 pages of lyrics. And those lyrics went, basically, you know, they didn't see the light of day for 57 years. And I was just browsing through the internet and I saw something that said, "Lost Bob Dylan song up for auction, $30,000.
Okay.
Well, I don't have that kind of cash.
Right.
But I'll finish the song. So I finished the song. I set it to music for the very first time. Over a half century, this thing went, you know, just sitting in his buddy's drawer from the Village in New York. And so I finished the song. We put it out there on the World Wide Web. NPR took notice. Billboard took notice. And then Bob Dylan's lawyer took notice."
Yeah, which could be a good thing or a bad thing. Before you finish the story, let me play a little of the song here. And then I want you to kind of tell me, you know, what happened after that. Here's what it sounds like here. This is called On Wisconsin, Trapper Shep. And I believe it's on the brand new record. And this is the Bob Dylan lyrics kind of being worked in here to this song.
Yeah, Wisconsin is a dairy state, guess you all know it well. I was in Wauwatosa, the truth I will tell.
So some of those lyrics are yours, but you kind of combine the Bob Dylan lyrics, correct?
Yeah, it's mostly his verses, and then I added a chorus.
So when he went, did he write Trapper? Because Wauwatosa, that's a suburb of Milwaukee. So he wrote that lyric about Wauwatosa?
Yes, he did.
That's crazy.
Yeah, pretty wild.
Let me see if I can get to the chorus here. You tell me when.
That way,
when's the chorus coming up here?
On Wisconsin,
there it is.
On Wisconsin, I think I'm going to stay.
All right, so you
so
left
you
off.
Hear that,
yeah, go ahead.
3-4 train beat rhythm. And I was just sort of in a. I was imagining a, you know, drifter being rocked to sleep, like in an old Woody Guthrie song or something. And so that's what I went with, that sort of a feel. And so I added the chorus to it. And then, yeah, Dylan's people basically granted me a co-write with Dylan for the song. So if you can imagine, Mark, I am a Dylan fan. My home has been Wisconsin for almost 30 years. And, you know, I'm a folk singer, so what's a guy to do? It was second nature for me. I finished the song. And through all these Hail Mary passes, you know, it got to Dylan. And now we've published the song together. So how about that?
That is an amazing story. It really is. And I think, you know, would have been a great story even if the lawyer said, hey, you can't, you can't use this or whatever. But I think it's awesome that he granted permission for it. And, you know, in the Tribune article, they sort of compared it to this. So let me play something here, because this is from Bob Dylan's Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid sessions in 1973. And it's kind of hard to hear, but you'll know where this is going in a second here. You can hear Wagon Wheel in there. Listen. All right. So then, of course, Old Crow Medicine Show. So they kind of took that session, and, you know, this happened. I'm sure, Trapper, you're familiar with the Lost Basement tapes and what happened with that project with Elvis Costello and Taylor Goldsmith from Dawes. They were just here last week. That is where they kind of pulled out all these lyrics, and they reformulated songs. They made a documentary and a record about it, and it was very cool. You kind of did your own basement tapes here with On Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, that's what the folk process is. So it's just second nature to me as a songwriter to want to finish what a different generation started. So that's all folk music is. It's, you know, an oral tradition. We're passing songs and stories and words and melodies down to the next generation.
Well, how cool is it that, you know, it's one thing being on my show, which isn't a big deal, but they featured you in the, you know, the Chicago Tribune. You're getting a little added press for this. That's got to feel pretty good, too, because the new album is called Primetime Illusion. And I, you know, I got to make sure that's in my title cue right now. Did it just come out the other day?
Came out on Friday.
Congratulations on that. That is going in my queue right now because I use the music service Tidal, T-I-D-A-L, which I like a lot. But so the new album's out, and then I mentioned, you know, I know you're playing a big show up there this weekend, but you're not coming to the rest of the states very soon, are you?
Hey, maybe I am, and I just haven't announced it. Yeah, I'm working on it, but I'm going to Europe in a few weeks, so I got to start planning that all out. But yeah, I'm excited. It's fun to go over there and sing.
I heard you got a pretty cool producer for this new record too, didn't you?
Yeah, he's from the band Wilco.
I've heard of that band.
Patch, you've heard of them?
Yeah. I have. Yes.
His name is Patrick Sansone. He's a Mississippi boy, and you know, he's played on some of my favorite records through the years, like Ryan Adams' Heartbreaker. He played piano. You know, he's played with the guys from Radiohead. He just actually produced Wilco's last big album, The Whole Love. So, yeah, I mean, this is a pretty wild thing for me. I'm getting to share a publishing credit with Dylan, work on a record with Wilco.
On the Mark Reardon Show, I mean, look, it just gets keeps growing, bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, look, I'm a fan of your music. It was fun to have you here in the studio a couple of years ago. You did a great show at Off Broadway. You make sure when you get back in town here, we'll get you back on again. And you know, I look forward to seeing you. But this is fun, and have fun in Europe.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's been a pleasure to catch up a bit.
Oh, I almost forgot to ask you a very important question. And this was on my list. So I mentioned our mutual friend Dan Walsh, right? He puts up on Instagram stories the vinyl of, which I'll have to get the vinyl, a big vinyl guy too, of the new record, which is delivered, you're going to have to explain this, in a Domino's pizza box and a Whole Foods bag inside of the Domino's pizza box. What in the heck is going on with that, Trapper Shep?
What in the heck is going on is that my record label's in the UK. So I actually got records from them and then mailed out a bunch of them to people in America. So it's pretty funny because I wanted to get this record to people before the release. So, you know, the process takes so long. I didn't get the records for like a week before. And then I look at my clock and the record comes out in 3 days. So I just completely improvised with what I had around the house. And some people like Dan Walsh, I thought I had a bit of a artistic license.
Yes,
I think he probably did. What I could. So,
well, he got a kick out of it. He got a kick out of it for sure. Trapper Shep, the new album is out right now. Check it out. Download it. Check out On Wisconsin, where he gets a co-writing credit with the one, the only, Bob Dylan. Trapper, good luck with everything. I hope to see you soon. I really do.
Thanks, Mark. Cheers.
Take care, man. Just a dream.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, here we go. Audio cut of the day. This is a guy who, Cliff Sims is his name, and he wrote a book that is called Team of Vipers. He's kind of a low-level staffer, and he's just ripping this administration. And he's getting some media attention from the likes of CNN, of course.
You know, when you're around Donald Trump, there's something about him. The best way I could describe it is similar to people talk about Steve Jobs when they called it there was like a reality distortion field around Steve Jobs. And when you're around the president, everything seems bigger, everything seems grander, you know, and there could be good things about that. But there's also kind of this this atmosphere that gets created that's extremely cutthroat. I think every White House is probably tough, but I think especially the atmosphere that has been created there that encourages a lot of the infighting. One of the things I try to do in the book is get people inside of Donald Trump's head, because like you said, there's sometimes where you're just like, what are we doing? And one of the points I make in the book is for him, everything is personal. Everything is a personal relationship. So that manifests itself in foreign affairs. His personal relationship with the foreign leader is more important almost than geopolitics. It's like that with the way he interacts with the staff. It's like that when he has these political vendettas that you think are like, you know, this is kind of a distraction from the main point. But everything for him is deeply personal.
All right, so what about Nancy Pelosi? He hasn't really given her a nickname.
And I think there's probably a reason why Nancy Pelosi hadn't got a nickname yet. And I think he respects her as a negotiator. I will say the shutdown was a little bit out of character for Trump because I noticed in his negotiating style, he's always looking for ways to increase his leverage, look for ways to invent leverage if he can. And he seemed to be negotiating right out of the gate from a position of weakness.
And then this happened live on TV as well.
You'll be shocked to know that the president just tweeted about you while we've been doing this interview.
Really?
Yes. I'll read it to you right now.
Okay,
and
good.
To myself.
Good.
A low-level staffer that I hardly knew named Cliff Sims wrote yet another boring book based on made-up stories and fiction. He pretended to be an insider when in fact he was nothing more than a gopher.
Nice.
He signed a non-disclosure agreement. He is a mess.
There it is. Look, I knew that was a possibility when I wrote this book, and you know what I said? My identity is not wrapped up in being a Trump staffer. My identity is wrapped up in, you know, who I am in my faith, and those are what things that matter to me. I know who Jesus says I am. Don't matter to me what Donald Trump or anyone else says that I am.
You don't mind being called a gopher?
Doesn't matter to me one bit.
So there you go, live on TV. The president is tweeting about you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.